Thank you very much. And I'd like to thank all of the organizers for organizing this really interesting meeting, and I'm very pleased to be a part of it. I have modified my title a bit. I wanted to talk about something very diverse when I was asked about my title, and then sometime between giving my title and actually putting together my presentation, I realized I had to focus. So I'm going to focus specifically on the lung microbiome, which is something we haven't covered yet today, and talk about how that may be involved in chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. So this is a very serious disease. It's the third leading cause of death in the US and the sixth globally. And mainly, this is caused by smoking. However, only 15% of smokers develop COPD. So this suggests that there are other contributing factors. And I'm going to show you some evidence suggesting that perhaps a lung microbiome is one of those factors. Some key features of the disease are infiltration of bronchiolar and alveolar tissue by inflammatory immune cells forming tertiary lymphoid organs, and this leads to irreversible airflow limitation, mucus hypersecretion, small airway fibrosis, and destruction of the alveolar space. And prior to the work that I'll talk about, there was some evidence suggesting an association of bacteria with COPD. And first of all, there is published data showing evidence for an altered microbiome associated with COPD based on analysis of samples from bronchoalveolar lavage and bronchial brushing. However, it's important to keep in mind that these are sampling methods that are challenging because basically what you're trying to do is to sample a community of very, very low density and then to bring those samples up through the oral cavity where there's a very dense microbial community. So there are some caveats with that type of sampling. Other evidence is that severe COPD involves acute exacerbations, and evidence suggests that this may involve bacterial infection of the lung. And this is mainly based on cultivation studies associating certain bacteria with these exacerbations. And also sometimes these exacerbations can be successfully treated with antibiotics, which also suggests that bacteria may be involved. So for the work that I'm going to talk about, we had the good fortune to have access to lung tissue samples for our analyses. And so basically, my colleagues would receive explant lungs and inflate them and freeze them in liquid nitrogen. And then those lungs would be sliced horizontally to form these flat slices, which could then be cored. And these cores could then be used for a number of different analyses, including DNA extraction for microbial community analysis, micro-CT analysis of structure, quantitative histology, and bacterial culturing. So for the first study, we were basically attempting to validate that there was a COPD microbiome, and we used samples from four different groups. So these were explant lungs from non-smokers, smokers, and people with GOLD 4 COPD. And so the disease is categorized with four levels of severity, and so GOLD 4 is the most severe level of the disease. And also as a control, we had lungs from cystic fibrosis patients. And so these basically served as a positive control because we knew that these would have high levels of bacterial infection. And so we had eight subjects per group and one core from each subject. And we analyzed the communities via PyroTag analysis of 16S amplicons as well as quantitative PCR. So the main finding was that there is, in fact, a lung microbiome, but that it's very sparse. And so we found this both by the PyroTag analysis and the qPCR analysis. And for the qPCR, this was normalized by using a human gene. And so you can see the values we calculated in bacterial cells per 1,000 human cells. And so what we found in were levels of less than less than one bacterial cell for every 10 human cells. So a very, very sparse population. And you can see that the density is similar in the controls, non-smokers and smokers, as well as the gold four lungs. And then, as we expected, we had much, much higher levels of bacterial colonization in the cystic fibrosis lungs. And so these analyses are really pushing the detection limit of the PCR analysis. And an important thing to note is that when you do this type of PCR analysis with many, many cycles, you will even detect bacterial DNA in your PCR reagents. And so it was important with all of these to do negative controls. And what we did was we essentially subtracted the PCR reagent microbiome from the lung microbiome. And so anything that we found in the PCR reagent, we discounted. And we didn't trust that that was coming from the lung. This is an ordination showing similarity of the communities in the different samples. And what you can see is that the controls, non-smokers and smokers, are clustered here. And these communities, as you might suspect, are not significantly different. But we do find a very different community in both the COPD lungs as well as the cystic fibrosis lungs. And so statistical analyses also indicate that these are significantly different. And so there is a distinct microbiome associated with COPD. So we wanted to go on then and do a more robust study. And one of the other things that we did with this next set of samples is we did lung transects. So we took 10 horizontal slices from each lung, and from each of five to eight of those slices, we removed cores. And so, this sample set involved healthy lungs as well as some gold four lungs for a total of 84 samples. And so, again, we did see a difference between the control and the gold four lung microbiome. However, you can also see that the individual lungs differ quite a bit. So permutational analysis of variants indicated that the single biggest factor influencing variability of the data was actually the subject. And health status, healthy versus gold four, was next behind that. One of the other things that this showed is that the core position along that vertical transect didn't actually have much effect on community composition. And so this basically disproved a hypothesis. We looked at this a number of different ways, and we found no evidence that the community was structured according to height in the lung, which is actually something we would have expected to see initially. We also, with these samples, analyzed the origin of the lung microbiota using a Bayesian probability source tracking approach. And so this analysis indicated that up to 46% of the lung microbiota in these samples is potentially from the oral microbiota. However, if you look more carefully at the data from the individual samples, you can see that this is very largely driven by three of the four healthy lung samples. And in all of the COPD lungs, there's very little evidence for the oral microbiota contributing to the lung microbiota. And this is also borne out in an ordination of data. So you can see our lung samples here, and then you can see data from other published studies from other environments, including body sites as well as soil. And so you can see that some of the lung samples have communities quite similar to the oral community, but most of them are quite distinct. And importantly, the COPD lung samples are among this cluster of distinct communities. Another observation is the patterns for diversity in these samples. And so if we look along the transect from apex to base of the lung and look at diversity in our samples, you can see that consistently the control lungs have greater diversity than the COPD lungs. However, you can also see there's a great deal of variability among individuals. And so if we just compare the overall data set, the difference is not statistically significant. But this led us to look more carefully at some of the other data. And one of the strongest correlations we found was between the alveolar surface area and the community diversity. And so here you can see that the surface area, which is based on the micro CT analysis, shows that basically the regions of the lungs with the greatest damage due to the development of COPD have the lowest diversity of their microbiome. And finally, with this set of samples, we also cultivated bacteria. And this is done basically by stamping the cores onto agar. So the cores are aseptically cut down the middle, and then that surface is just printed onto agar plates. And so 56 cores were used for this, and 90 isolates from that were identified by 16S gene sequences, yielding 39 operational taxonomic units, and these are delineated by 97% identity. And this is, by the way, the exact same analysis we use for the PyroTag data, so we could then compare our OTUs between the two data sets. And so what we see is that actually the majority of the isolates are distinct from the PyroTag OTUs, but some of them are common to both. And so our culturing has actually identified additional diversity not found by the pyro sequencing. Another observation is there wasn't a single cultured OTU that was common to all of the patients. And I think this just, again, it feeds into this theme of diversity among individuals, which is a very significant factor here. I'm not sure why this graph got corrupted, but basically what this is doing is it's comparing abundance of OTUs. So these are the shared OTUs in both the culture collection and the PyroTag data set. And the top line in red is the cultivated isolates, and the bottom line in blue is these are the isolates. The top red line is the PyroTag data. And so basically, most of our isolates are actually corresponding to low abundance PyroTags, but several of them do correspond to PyroTags that are quite abundant. And so I think this is important in that it's demonstrating that some of the most abundant populations or OTUs that we find in the lung are viable. Okay, and finally, I want to show some additional data from samples looking at early stage COPD. And so here we have an additional sample set from controls and the first two stages of COPD, GOLD 1 and GOLD 2. And in this case, each of these lungs had two cores from two different positions. And when we ordinate these data, the differences are a bit less obvious between these groups, but we still see distinct communities with these different stages of COPD versus the control. And so again, it's emphasizing the variability of the community, but each of these groups has a significant community structure based on PERMANOVA analysis. So the next question we tried to address is what populations are predictive of COPD and therefore might have the best chance of having some important role in either healthy lungs or lungs that are diseased. And this was challenging. The initial attempts we made to try to look for patterns in the communities all failed, largely because of the high variability of the data set. But eventually, using a supervised learning approach, random forest analysis with Brutus selection, we were able to identify 29 predictive OTUs, and then when we plot these in this heat map, you can see in some cases at least, there are some clear patterns for these populations. And so I've keyed these with red to indicate the OTUs that are increasing in abundance with increasing severity of COPD. So these samples are from the controls, gold 1, gold 2, and gold 4 groups as we go from left to right. And so this is an analysis of the overall data set, all of the samples that I've mentioned. And then I've coded in green those that are actually higher in the healthy lungs and decreasing with the increasing severity of COPD. And so some of these, as I say, show clear trends, and probably the most obvious is that there are a number of OTUs which are very obviously enriched in the gold 4 lungs. And the next thing we did with these data then was to correlate some of these, a subset of these predictive OTUs with the quantitative histology data. And so in this heat map, we see correlation, and you can see here from negative to positive correlations. Across the horizontal axis, these are the different quantitative histology measurements, and here are the predictive OTUs. And these are organized with, on this side, measures that are all associated with inflammation. And over here are measures that are associated with healthy lung tissue. And so you can see some very obvious trends here. Two of the OTUs, Propionibacterium and Ralstonia, are very clearly correlated with the inflammation readouts. On the other hand, a larger number of the predictive OTUs are correlated with measures of healthy lung tissue, such as alveolar surface area. And I think further, it's interesting to note that the patterns among these differ quite a bit. And so this suggests to me that these individual populations may have different niches within the lung. They're not just uniformly associated with the various measurements. Okay, so I'll summarize with a few comments about first the normal lung microbiome and then the health, and then the COPD lung microbiome. So first, we find that the lung tissue has a microbiome of very low density. Minimally, many of these populations are viable, although I think it's very important moving forward to establish whether these organisms are metabolically active and whether they're growing or in the lung environment. The populations appear to be distributed throughout the lung, and they are, in the case of the healthy microbiome, they appear to partially but not completely originate from the oral microbiome. So that seems to be an important source for some of these organisms. As I've mentioned several times, we see high variability among individuals, and so this really confounds our ability to examine whether these organisms might have important roles. But we do see there are some key or predictive bacterial populations that are associated with normal histology and may play a role in normal immune function. And so I think this is going to be very important moving forward. To try to look more closely at this and to try and really determine whether such a population of such low density can possibly have important effects and interactions with the host. On the other hand, for the COPD lung microbiome, we can see that this community changes throughout all stages of COPD, and so these changes appear to be integral to the progression of the disease. And in the case of the COPD microbiome, it is quite distinct from the oral microbiome. The bacterial diversity did not decrease with COPD, so this indicates it's distinct from an infection. Rather, it's a change in the community composition without significant increase in density. The diversity decreases as the lung tissue is damaged by remodeling during the progression of disease. And again, there are key predictive bacterial populations that increase during COPD. In this case, they're associated with the tissue remodeling and inflammation, and they may play a role in immune dysfunction. And again, it's, I think, important for us to understand whether this very sparse population could have a key role in this disease. I think one of the most important hypotheses to be tested is whether the establishment of these populations may actually catalyze the progression of disease in individuals who have already have an immune system that's predisposed to the development of COPD. And with that, the last thing I want to do is acknowledge a number of people for this work, and in particular, Pedro Dimitriou and Mark Tse, who did most of the work that I presented. And I also want to acknowledge my collaborator, James Hogg, who has been wonderful to work with and brought a great amount to this project. And that's it. Thank you very much.